time to tee it up with On the Tee, talking the wide world of golf from the PGA to the Champions Tour, LPGA, college, high school, and the crazy world of the Hack Nation. And here's your head of the Hack Nation and your host, Mike Rickard.
Good morning and welcome to On the Tee, the newest edition of the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection Radio Network. We're streaming live on RadioSt.Pete.com, and we are at our Ferg Sports Bar and Grill, 19th hole clubhouse, perched above, well, I'm looking directly at Tropicana Field here down at 13th and Central, and we're here each and every Saturday from 11 to 12. We'll be talking the great world of golf from the PGA to the LPGA Champions Tour. Of course, the collegiate world champions, as I said, the old guys like myself. And, of course, we'll be diving into high school golf here shortly in the month of May. And right now, it's a spectacular day. 4:10, first pitch. You got the Twinkies and Rays right across the street. 4:10, first pitch. This place will be jam-packed. And I'm looking forward to the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection 12-2. Got an absolutely jam-packed show. Before I go any further, I want to thank the guys that filled in for me last week when I was up in the frozen tundra of my home state, Iowa. The big O, Oscar Garner III, and Alex did a superb job on the tee. Ray Kennedy and my man Kenny Knowles came in and carried the ball for me for 2 hours from up above here last Saturday. So I want to thank those guys before I go any further. We got a great show today. We're going to talk a little golf equipment, golf tech with Steve Lippincott. Steve is the director of operations for golf tech here in Florida and instruction as well. And then John Rager, the great John Rager, his golf report is live from the Bob Dooley Invitational to stop children's cancer. And it's always a pleasure to have a conversation with John Rager. He's probably the foremost teaching pro, and he was playing pro here in the state of Iowa, and I was fortunate enough to meet him through the NFL alumni chapter. It was the Super Bowl of Golf over in Tampa, and that was an absolute blast, and I was fortunate to go there. On the tee, if you're getting busy today and you want to hear our conversations, we archive it on Hoovy.tv. That's our new streaming channel, Hoovy.tv. It's also archived on RadioSt.Pete.com. Joe Boudreau and the gang. I want to thank Joe. We had a great time on Thursday. If you haven't been down, I'll talk a little baseball for a second. If you haven't been down here for an afternoon game, make a point of it. Take the day off. Grab your kids this summer. Grab your grandkids. Come on down. It's typically a 1:10 first pitch. You're out of here by 4:30. And the crowds aren't crazy unless it's Yankees and Red Sox. I don't see them in the afternoon games this year. And I tell you what, Joe had a suite. I was fortunate to get a couple tickets behind home plate for my friends. And it's just a relaxing day, and Rays win. So it was a great day. As I said, I'm about 375 yards from the front. For me, that's a 13 wood. Well, I'll ask Steve Lippincott if it's a 13 wood, or I need graphite shafts, which I'm certain that I do need graphite shafts. And I tell you what, I can't wait to talk to Steve Lippincott about the type of clubs that we need as we get into our mid-60s. I'll save that for a little bit later on. Let's go to the leaderboards. The Mexico Open is at Vallarta in Puerto Vallarta. I've been there several times. I can't believe that they're playing. It's a little dicey down there these days. I'm sure security is at its highest. You've got some of the world's greats. You've got a lot of the top 10s. John Rahm, the Spaniard, John, top at 12 under. He's got a 12 noon tee off. You got Alex Smalley right behind him at 10 under. Adam Long, a lot of U.S. flags there. Andrew Novak, Cameron Champ, Patrick Reed, who we haven't heard from for quite some time. He's at 9 under. Let's see, any notables for you fans that just scratched the surface? Jonathan Bird, Charles Howell III at 7 under, Matt Wallace, and Don't see any names of notability. Oh, Kevin Na. I'm going to tell a comical story. Kevin Na is known for his slow pay play. He's won 5 times on the tour, and he's the young Asian. Well, he's not young any longer, but he is in my terms. He's the young Asian that when he hits a putt and he knows it's going in, he practically sprints to the cup, almost as if the ball is going to pop out. And he's frustrated a lot of guys playing so slowly, and then quickly running up to the ball, and it gets distracting. On Monday, he was on the practice range with a guy you haven't heard a whole lot about, Gabe Fitzpatrick. And those two got into a little shouting match, dropping F-bombs on each other. The rest of the pros were concerned that it was going to be a throwdown. And I just got kind of a laugh out of that. See a couple of the guys throwing down. And Kevin Na would not have been on the winning end of that. Hey, the Champions Tour right now, it's at the Insperity Invitational at Woodland Hills Country Club in Woodlands, Texas. Steve Elker is on top at 5-under. Ernie Els at 5-under. Steve Stricker, who's getting back to playing again, the Wisconsinite. Woody Austin, the Aquaman, 4-under. Chris DeMarco, the Florida Gator. There's a name you haven't heard for quite some time. I like to see Chris DeMarco. He's got a lot of Italian in him. He's very gregarious. He's good for the game of golf, and it's great to see him on the Champions Tour right now, doing well. In fact, that's the first time I've seen him in the top 10 in quite some time. Miguel Angel Jimenez, right now he's the current money leader on the Champions Tour. He's at 4-under. This is a great field. Freddie Couples, 3-under. Let's see where our boy from Clearwater. I got a great story on JD, too, John Daly. JD had a good first day. Oh, there he is. Yeah, John's he's only 4 off the pace. And considering the condition that I've seen John of late, I'm impressed with that. So John Daly is just 4 back. On the women's side of things, LPGA is in California. I'll pull that up for you in a second. And I want to share this John Daly story. He did a podcast the other day, and he talked about beating Tiger Woods. And it was about 2005. And it was a Thursday night, and everybody was gathered, and they were having a few cocktails, and a few to JD is, a few dozen. He claims that he actually drank that night a bottle and a half. No, I'm sorry, 2 bottles of Crown Royal. And kept asking, Tiger was getting ready to leave. He asked Tiger, you want another one? No, you want another one? No, thanks. What are you going to do? He said, well, I'm going to go to the gym and work out. John Daly proceeded to stay and continue cocktailing till the wee hours of the morning. They had a 12:05 tee time, and that particular day, John Daly beat Tiger Woods. And Tiger and John Daly had some of his friends in the gallery bring cocktails to him. They weren't cocktails, actually. They were sodas. But he acted as if they were cocktails. And Tiger just kept looking at JD and shaking his head and said, how's this guy do it? But that's how he's lived his entire life. I mean, he's got a Jack Daniels, a butt in his mouth, a Miller Lite's his favorite beer. I know that for a fact. And I thought that was a comical story that just came out. And Tiger Woods did not contest the accuracy of that. So that was pretty humorous, actually. As I said, we're on the tee on the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection radio network. I want to thank our affiliates, of course, WTAN 106.1 FM, AM 1340. That's Tampa, Clearwater, St. Pete. WZHR 104.3 FM, WDCF AM 1350, Zephyr Hills, and WZHR 102.3 FM and AM 1400. I'm going to effort Steve Lippincott right now. He, of course, as I mentioned, he is the director of operations for Golf Tech. I did a lot of business with Golf Tech up north, and their franchise. He's director of instruction as well. I moved down here from Jersey, and we'll have a conversation with him and see if he can figure out how to improve my game or anybody's game that's listening today. With equipment, which they always like to do that. but we'll be talking to Steve Lippincott. And as I mentioned, this show, it's going to broaden. We're going to get a lot better. We're going to insert a lot of Happy Gilmore commentary and Caddyshack humor. I'm going to start initiating call-ins so you can tell your favorite story of humor on the links of Florida. And that's always a lot of fun. And we're going to do a lot of interactive giveaways with golf passes, raise tickets. We got a lot coming down the road here in May as we continue to expand on the tee. Right now, we're going to get a little serious. We're going to talk, as I mentioned, to Steve Lippincott. Good morning, my friend. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Not too bad for an old dinosaur. I'm sitting here at Ferg Sports Bar and Grill, staring at Tropicana Field, where there's a 410 pitch against the Twinkies today. So life's pretty good, and I get to talk golf to somebody that actually knows something about it. And I appreciate you taking time to come on and share some of your knowledge and what's going on at Golf Tech. Let's talk about your career in the world of golf. How'd you get started in golf? At what age did you realize that this was a career you wanted to pursue? And talk about the growth of Golf Tech across the country. I remember when they first came out, and their growth's been phenomenal.
Yeah, it really has been, and tons to unpack there. So I don't want to bore too many of your listeners with my story, but I started playing golf right around 1997 when Tiger Woods was starting to come out on the scene, and he really drove me to play the game, and that was my initial intention. I wanted to be a player. I got to go to Coastal Carolina University. I attended the professional golf management program there, which I assumed was just majoring in golf, and played around with some of the guys on the team there, and I realized that playing was not going to be the career that I was going to be on. It just wasn't quite good enough to keep up with those guys, and then decided to pursue teaching, and I've been teaching since 2006 with Golf Tech, and it has been great. Every day is awesome to start off with just helping students like you who need some help with their game, and then now I'm in a role where I get to help coaches who need help with their career and need help with their lives.
Hey, Steve, first of all, don't minimize your career. You played at Coastal Carolina. There's a guy that's got 27 wins on the PGA Tour that also played at Coastal Carolina.
Yeah.
That just got married to someone of royalty in the hockey world, if you will, Dustin Johnson. Did you get to ever rub elbows with Dustin, or have you met him? I'm sure you probably have.
Yeah, I got to play golf with Dustin a couple of times, and he was instrumental in my decision to become a teacher. I played probably as hard as I could against him a few times, and he wound up beating me by 10 or 11 strokes every time we played. So he was definitely the benchmark, and I'm really glad to see him being successful right now.
Well, first of all, getting beat by 10 or 11 is not embarrassing to the likes of a Dustin Johnson. You know, he seems like, to a degree, a smug guy, but I just think he's just not gregarious, outgoing. But I would have loved to have been in the room when the great one, Wayne Gretzky, when he went and asked Wayne for his daughter's hand in marriage, because, you know, Wayne could probably be a little intimidating.
Oh, sure, yeah. I'm a big hockey fan, too, so obviously Wayne, that's royalty right there, as you said, right? So, that must have been some conversation.
All right, so let's talk about Golf Tech, and what's that corporate headquarters? I can't remember. I did about 7-8 years of business up in Iowa, and we used the simulators. We did a couple shows there and had some laughs, invited our listeners to come on by. Some interactive things like that. So let's talk about Golf Tech. You know, where the corporate headquarters are, when it started, and how you got your first job there.
Yeah, so our corporate headquarters is out in Denver, Colorado, and that's where it started. So we started in Marina Square. Joe Ossel, who is our CEO and founder, he was the first instructor at Golf Tech. So he started with this idea of that, you know, computers were just starting to come along in 1995, and maybe there's a way to integrate, you know, the sport that everybody loves, golf, with these computers. Maybe there's something to this. And just started teaching lessons from there. We use video. We use this motion equipment. If I go back and look at pictures today, it looks kind of funny in the 90s. We put a band on somebody's head so we could measure that, put a couple of straps on them. And then where we've grown now, to kind of compare that to where we are today, right, there's it's the technology that we've been able to use. That's always been our forefront, is we want to use technology to help golfers play better, and we don't stop in the pursuit of getting better technology in golfers' hands. you know, nowadays every range has TrackMan. You're starting to see more and more motion things that we've been doing for a long time come up, and we're just trying to stay on the front of that curve right now on the technology side so we can just keep helping people.
You know, Steve, I was a guinea pig for the franchise in Des Moines, and I went out there, and I had one of my little, we had a magazine, I had one of my little journalists with me to take pictures. I looked like I was getting ready to go to the electric chair. They put that deal on your head. I mean, I got nervous. I was sweating. The guy says, you nervous about your game? I go, no, you're going to flip the switch on that thing? Where am I going, man?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we've come a long way. You know, in the last 2 or 3 years, we've introduced something called OptiMotion now, which takes your body and it recognizes where your body is in time and space using two cameras. And that's how we can measure how much you're turning, how much you're tilting. We can measure all those things now with just a camera. So yeah, all the way from the, you know, getting ready to the straight jacket is probably what we used to call it, to you know, now to a day where we're just, our students can walk in and we can measure their motion instantly.
Yeah, straight jacket, electric chair. Those aren't encouraging words for a hack
No.
who's trying to improve their game.
No, not at all.
Okay, so I come in and you, I give you my my tale of woe on the links, and then you do an analysis, video analysis. Mm-hmm. Take it from there.
Yeah, so really it starts off with what are you trying to accomplish, right? One of the things we hear from a lot of times with our students is, well, I'm not a tour player. I don't want to be a tour player. There's only 125 of those guys every year that are guaranteed a job. So out of all the people who are playing golf, there's really only 125 tour players on the PGA Tour, and then obviously of the various mini tours. So for most of the time with our coaches, that's not even what we're trying to do. We're really just trying to understand, you know, what's going on with your game. And kind of like we talked about a little yesterday, you know, you stay in the cart till the time to get up around the green, right? So we got to help you with off the tee, and we got to help you with, you know, getting closer to the green faster. So we start our approach that way. We're really just trying to help our golfers develop a game plan to fix the parts of their game that they need. And then from there, we analyze their swing and tell them, hey, this is why you're having these problems. And then we're able to really quickly dive in there and start correcting the problems that they have.
Well, I'm sitting right by another fellow hack, my buddy Kenny, and we went out about a month ago, a little longer than that. And the realization is, at our age, you know, we don't have much backswing anymore. And then I was talking to a couple of my NFL alumni buddies that you know, that are still very competitive in our age group. They play a heck of a lot more, but they're all right. Telling me I need to get graphic shafts for my driver. Is that right?
It might be right. That might be the right call. We kind of do a similar club analysis to what we do with the body. We look at your clubs. We ask you what clubs are hindering you. If you can't swing the club
all,
fast enough.
All of them. All of them. Are
all of them.
Me.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. You might be due for some new ones then. yeah, I would say we measure, you know, measure your equipment, give you an idea how stiff are your shafts. You know, are these things the right things for you? And then we have five manufacturers that we use, all the big ones, Ping, Mizuno, TaylorMade, Callaway, and Titleist, and we're able to try to find something across those brands that will help you play better. That's how our fitting part of that starts to work.
Would you go over your partner clubs again? My ADD
yeah.
kicked in, and I was thinking about my TaylorMade. My son used to work for TaylorMade when he was going to college in the summer,
yeah.
You know, fitting people on the course. And he got me some TaylorMades. They're supposedly for grandpa, old man clubs. So is TaylorMade one of your partners? Maybe I should dump my TaylorMades and come see you.
Yeah, they are. Yeah, if I neglected them, sorry. TaylorMade, Ping, Callaway, Mizuno, and Titleist are the ones that we mostly use, but the TaylorMade Grandpa ones, I haven't seen that model in our centers yet. You must be getting something new that we don't have yet.
I'll tell you what, I'll bring him in and you can analyze them. In fact, my friend used them, and he said, you need new clubs. No, he needs a new game because he said my grips were worn. They haven't even used that long. And but they're due for a garage sale, I'm afraid.
Oh, no. Yeah. It sounds like it might be time, and it sounds like you got a couple of problems or may have a couple of problems. That's why we always encourage people to come in and just see what their problems are so they know where to get started with help, not just, you know, what their friends might say or what they might see a tour player do. So that's you sound like you're prime for getting into one of our spots.
Yeah, well, I'll be one a guinea pig that you guys won't want back. But and here's another thing, and I mean this in all sincerity. You know, the first time I did go in there, it's a little intimidating. Do you make the experience as relaxing for, you know, a clown like me that, you know, likes to throw in some dry humor? But I'm dead serious. I figure I can play. I talked to a guy yesterday at 94 years old. Is playing golf every day of his life. He's a good friend of mine, Mac's father, and you know, he says still hits it, you know, old man golf, straight down the pike, and keeps playing, and he attributes that to a lot of his longevity, and if that's the key to success, I'm all in.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, golf's a great game. You get to get outside and play, especially with everything in COVID, right? The golf started to boom because we were able to get outside and still be with each other without being too close to each other. But yeah, that's the reason I think we can make it such an inviting environment is we're golfers too, right? We struggle with our games. We have some frustrations too. And, you know, we're all just there to help each other. So, you know, when you come into one of our centers, you're being greeted by another golfer. You're not being greeted by, you know, just somebody who's there to sell something or push a club, but no, somebody who understands the pain of playing the game. They just might play it a little bit better, you know, than the person walking in, but still doesn't mean that they're not frustrated at times with their games.
Well, the reality is, and you know this, and you mentioned it, people, you know, when we go out to play, there's more than a handful of mulligans. We're out there to enjoy the game. And that's the majority of the people that are playing in their elderly years. They just want to get out for the recreation of it. But but when you're looking at the game of golf and people say, geez, they take it serious, I shot a 98. Well, I saw several factoids that only 10% of the people that actually play the game as it's supposed to be break 100 on a PGA course. Is that correct?
That sounds pretty accurate if it's that, yeah.
Yeah, if it's that, you know, people say, well, oh, yeah, I shot a 90. Okay, yeah. Well, you know, what tees did you play from? How many, you know, foot wedges did you use? I just laugh. If you actually play the game, and I've been a kart jockey in my retirement years and then got back into this world. I was a kart jockey at St. Pete Country Club and up in Dunedin. And I would laugh at some of these guys, the BS that they would tell each other, and then watch them tee off. I'm like, well, good luck with that, pal. I think you're going to be handing over a few Benny Franklins today.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a hard game, but it's a challenge too, right? That keeps us all coming back and makes us want to get better at it. Even watching some of the trials and tribulations of Tiger Woods, who, you know, might be the second best golfer to ever play the game, and he still has problems with it from time to time, right? So if I always sort of say, if that guy like that can't figure it out, who's devoting 8 hours a day to it, has professional coaching, professional nutrition, and he's still working on it, the rest of us, we really need to cut ourselves some slack and you know that it's okay to get help and it's okay to work on your game.
You're listening to On the Tee on the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection Radio Network. We're live from Ferg's Sports Bar and Grill, our 19th hole perch right here at 13th and Central in downtown St. Pete. Conversation with Steve Lippincott, and he's bringing us some information on how to improve your game. Something that it is amazing about the game of golf, how many people are trying to buy gadgets, widgets. You watch the Golf Channel, and I'm a Golf Channel junkie. Amazing that all of the help aids over the years that have evolved and that are basically just witchcraft. What do you suggest, just a good pro, teaching pro, and coming to a golf tech and getting the fundamentals? Because, you know, there's guys, their bags are so damn heavy because they've got it full of widgets.
Yeah, you call it a witchcraft, so I'll steal that one. I like that one a lot. And that's basically, you know, kind of what boils down to is, you know, a one-size-fits-all answer like that. That problem might be solved by the gadget that you buy. It may have helped a friend of yours who had a totally different problem. I always suggest just start out with finding out what your problems are, right? And that way you can get the right advice and get the right help that you need to play better. Is there another question in there? Or was just that about the witchcraft? I wanted to get that one more time.
Just get the witchcraft out of there so people can come to Golf Tech. You got time for another hack to ask you a question?
Yeah, man. Go ahead.
He's my right-hand man, and we're going to try to get to the point where we don't embarrass ourselves, but that's not going to happen.
Great.
I don't really have a question for you, Steve, but I do want to verify that Mike does need some new clubs.
That's inaccurate, my friend. That's inaccurate.
Okay. I didn't catch that. I'm sorry. You need what?
He said I definitely need new clubs, but I've already concurred on that. Hey, how do we get a hold of Golf Tech? What are the locations in the three-county region?
Yeah, so we have a location down in St. Petersburg on 4th Street. We're up in Clearwater as well, and then we have a center right by the airport in West Shore, in the West Shore Business District, and then we have a center up in Carrollwood.
Well, I tell you what, I'll be getting a hold of you next week. I'd like to sit down and visit with you. Maybe get a creative and some interactive opportunities to get. We're launching a streaming platform, video streaming, uh-huh. And maybe we could do some cool things with our audience down here at Ferg's, do some streaming, maybe send one of our guys, a couple of our guys to the St. Pete store and have some fun with this thing.
Yeah, that sounds great. I'm a big fan of Ferg, so anytime you can get me out there, I'll be there.
All right, Steve. Have a great weekend, brother.
Thanks, guys. You too.
Thanks for sharing your wisdom to a couple of hacks.
Anytime. Thanks.
All right, man. All right, now we've got to get... you know what, pal? It wouldn't matter what clubs you... And now he's kind enough to join me, John Rager. How are you, my friend?
Hey, Ray,
how you doing, Mike?
I'm doing well, and you're at the Bob Dooley Invitational. Where's that located?
Well, we're at the Ironwood Golf Course up here in Gainesville, Florida, and I just received a free margarita from the Swamp Restaurant.
Go to Woo-hoo!
So you can tell there's a pretty festive atmosphere, but this is the 27th annual Dooley Golf Tournament, which is always sold out. There's beer on every other hole. There's all kinds of prizes, beautiful women serving cocktails. We had Big Bill's cheesesteak out here, which was had a big old cheesesteak earlier. So, yeah, so it's all about the food. It's all about the fun. Plus, you know, this is one of those ridiculous tournaments where you get mulligans and free throws and play forward tees. And believe it or not, we shot a ridiculous score of 22 on the first nine. Can you believe that?
Then we got a hole in one.
And it's 14 under par. Can you believe that? That's ridiculous. We're shooting a score that people love to hate.
Well, you know what, though? That's my kind of tournament. You got mulligans, beautiful women, beer, interactive fun. I talked to you before we came on the air about the Hack Nation Invitational. It sounds like the Bob Dooley Invitational was the predecessor of my Hack Nation Invitational, because that's what they're all about. And the bottom line, this is for Stop Children's Cancer, and that's a superb event. And Pat Dooley, of course, everyone that's a Gator fan is familiar with Pat Dooley.
Yeah, in fact, you mentioned the charity and Stop Children's Cancer, and that's what this is all about, raising money for it. So you buy those raffle tickets, you buy all the super tickets, you donate. They've got plenty of sponsors. They've got wonderful conditions out here to play. But that Stop Children's Cancer is what it's all about. In fact, I had a young lady this morning that recovered from liver cancer, and it's remarkable that she even lived, and she's out here, and she's going to be a nurse in about 6 months. So it's a testimony to the charity and what they do for the children.
You know, when between you and Barry Smith, when I come back in another life, I either want to be John Rager or I want to be Barry Smith, living the high life. How many events like this are you involved in? Because, you know, it seems like everyone knows who you are. And you add your own splash of flash, if you will, and entertainment because of your background to events like this.
Well, you know, I'm just a player in this event. I'm a participant. I'm playing with Dr. Bill Stereau. He sponsored our team. He's an old surgeon up here in Gainesville. I'm playing with a couple of his kids that I coached on the golf team. So we're having a wonderful time. But, yeah, there's, you know, across the state, obviously, in the state of Florida, which you can call the golf capital of Florida, you know, you have events like this. But this one is special. It's been going on 27 years. And, you know, Pat's retired now. You know, he does this as a labor of love. And it's fun. You get to see people you haven't seen all year. And they come from all parts. One of the cool things about it is in the prize table, they have this silent auction. Well, what they do is they have this table of football helmets from Gator coaches that have gone on to coach the NFL and other college teams and things, and they sign the helmet and they put it on a table. It's quite an impressive display. Plus, we have a Tiger Woods signed flag and picture, which is very unusual. You know, you don't see that popping up at many golf tournaments around.
No, you don't. Speaking of that, if I can talk a little PGA right now, what do you think about Tiger Woods heading to Tulsa this week in his private jet and having the professional there, Tulsa, caddy for him and play a practice round? I mean, he's back.
Well, you know, it shows you how smart he is, because he was smart enough to get the club pro to come do that, you know, because the club professional there, you know, he knows that golf course inside and out, like the back of his hand. And there's very few tour professionals actually call upon the club pro to ask him some insight when they show up to play that week. You know, normally they don't go in the golf shop and say, hey, give me some tips. So this one was kind of special for Tiger and for the club pro, because he got to walk 18 holes with him, carry the bag. And so it looks like Tiger is going to do it. He's, you know, she should be able to play in the PGA Championship. And I know he's trying to commit to the U.S. Open and also the Open Championship at St. Andrews. So it looks like he's going to play in all the majors this year. And, you know, it's funny. That attracts so much attention. They had like a helicopter flying over the golf course to have a Tiger sighting to film him playing his practice round. So it's kind of bizarre there, but it's good to see. Good for the game of golf.
Well, and another thing that wasn't a fact at the Masters is it's going to be hot. It's always hot in Tulsa, and that's Southern Hills, correct?
Right, Southern Hills in Tulsa, Oklahoma. It's held several PGA Championships and U.S. Opens, and it's one of the great golf courses, and that's why they go out to the Midwest there and play it. So it's got a storied history there. I think Tommy Bowles back in 1958 won the U.S. Open there at Southern Hills.
That's one fact I do know, one of the few that I could hang with you on. And Tiger Woods won at Southern Hills, so he knows that track. He's won at St. Andrews. And the beauty of St. Andrews, you know, you're going to have inclement weather conditions typically, but it's flat for sure over there, so it won't be tough to walk like Augusta was.
Well, you don't have to do much research when you're trying to talk about where Tiger has won. I think he's won just about everywhere, so it's hard not to mess up and say he won somewhere where he didn't.
That's a very, very good point. What hole are you guys on?
Well, we're actually on the turn right now. We got Eric Clapton playing in the background there, and we're on a putting contest. And they give out margaritas, and you have a good time. So we're getting ready to go to the 10th hole. There's always a big backup on that 10th hole, because that's where they have another beer cookout hole. It's a short little par 3. It's got 6 flags on that hole. So that means, you know, no matter where you hit on the green, you're going to have a birdie putt.
Are you kidding me? This is my kind of event.
In fact, one of the holes out there, it's closest to the Tebow. And they have a big picture of Tim Tebow right in the middle of the green. So it's not closest to the hole. It's closest to Tim Tebow's sign.
This sounds like a fact. Is it open to the public? I mean, can I throw a few? Well, it won't be, I'm sure it wouldn't be a few, but can you get into this event as an outsider? You know, I'm a Hawkeye, not a Gator, but I've got some Gator buddies.
Well, you have to follow Pat Dooley very closely on social media, because sometime around... it depends when he announces it, maybe around the first of the year or so, he announces the tournament, it's sold out in a day.
Well, I'm certain. Well, maybe he would need a little media coverage, and I'll use that as an excuse to be out there and watch all the antics that take place.
Well, you got to come up next year and observe and have a good time, and we'll let you we'll let you caddy for us. You can go ahead and pick up some tips on for the Hack Invitational you're going to run.
Well, I got to ask you this. Now, when I play in four-person best shots, I like to have a team assembled of guys like yourself and then one female that plays in the front from the women's tees. Do you ever mind a guy like me coming around? The only time I get out of the cart is with my putter, or do you need more participation from the guys in your foursome?
Well, yes, you know, it's all about chipping the putt in there, Mike. You know that. You know, that's what I tell golfers all over the place. It's your short game. Practice your short game.
Hey, I wanted your opinion on this. You know, people say that the game of golf isn't fun. And then you start looking around, you know, Steph Curry has that show that's been popular, entering his third year. Holy moly, has some nice numbers. You've got Top Golf. You've got Tiger Woods launch now, a Pop Golf in Sarasota this week. We're getting one here in St. Pete. Golf is fun, and people can make it fun, and I'm certain in your profession you've wanted to encourage people. I just got done talking to the director of operations with Golf Tech, you know, and that sounds kind of intimidating and serious, but at the same time, it can evolve into and fun and family and expand your participation numbers.
Well, you know, Mike, just remember this. Golf is not life or death. It's more important than that.
Well, I've got some buddies that...
Mike, you're getting slow. You didn't catch that?
I caught it.
You know what? I've got my playing partners here, and they thought that was so stupid because they've heard me say that like 100 times before.
Well, the reality is there's a lot of guys that take it that serious, and it doesn't become fun for them, and I've been around those kind of guys. I don't like golfing with them.
Well, no, it's important to have fun, you know, and the key is, I was playing golf with somebody one day, and they had a really bad temper. They were a decent golfer, but they just, you know, they had a really bad temper, and so I went over to him. I said, listen, you're not that good enough to get that mad.
Now, that is a laughable comment. I have played with a lot of clowns like that. I'm like, why did you launch that club? You suck, and now that club is gone, and you have to go buy another one, and it wasn't worth it. You know, you're shooting double bogey, triple bogey golf.
Well, we're coming up to the 10th tee. This is probably the main party center for the whole golf tournament. They got music. They got Sarah out here with shots. They got everything going on here.
Shots of what?
I'm not sure. We're going to find out, though.
I just read a story, and Tiger Woods has not contested this, that in 2005, JD got paired with him, and the night before, Daly claims to have consumed two bottles of Crown Royal and then proceeded to beat Tiger the next day. And that, to me, is an epic John Daly story, and I'm sure there's more of them out there, but that one just blew me away. I think I picked it up the other day on some golf feed.
Well, you know, we had a kid on our golf team years ago, and our golf coach came up to him. It's like 7 o'clock in the morning, and I call him a kid. He's 24 years old. He's just out of the Air Force, and they love to drink beer. You know, the rest of us are young, you know, and you know we're not supposed to be drinking beer, but you know he's 24 years old. He enjoyed his beer so much. They were on the first tee. It's like 7 o'clock in the morning, and the coach rolls up. And out of the corner of my eye, I see the coach handing him some beer, a couple beers, put them in the bag. You know, I go, what are you doing? You know, the coach goes, hey, listen, you know, this guy needs to get his BAL up, his blood alcohol level up, so he can play half decent.
Are you serious?
I'm dead serious.
What division college golf was this?
Well, this is Division I, but this is back in the 70s. And, you know, they do a little differently nowadays than they did back then. You know, I had at the College of Charleston, I had a guy that was on our golf team. He was 54 years old, and he was a sergeant, and he was in Korean War veteran. Korean War, Vietnam War veteran, and he was like our eighth man on the team. And we had the state intercollegiate golf tournament, and the last hole's par five, and the parking lot's really close. And so when you hit your second shot into this par five, you kind of aim for the Buick in the left parking spot at the clubhouse. Well, I'm back there. You know, he teed off first thing because he was our eighth guy on the golf team. He was, you know, not too good, but he was loved to have him along because he would tell us war stories on the way about, you know, kids rolling up in bicycles and they get out and it's a pipe bomb, blows everybody up, you know. So those kind of stories, when you got to the golf course, you felt pretty good about yourself that this ain't nothing compared to what we went through. We're on the last hole, you know, so we're like, you know, he teed off at like 7:30 in the morning. You know, we didn't tee off till like 1:30 in the afternoon if you're on the starting five. Well, so I'm, you know, so it's got to be, what, 6 o'clock at night, 6:30. We're hitting into the last hole. I see him, and he's on that Buick. You know, he had a big beer belly. He's about 54, a big beer. He passed out on the hood of the Buick. And so one of the guys I'm playing with the other school, I think it was from Clemson or something, goes, where do I aim? I said, you see that guy passed out on that Buick? Aim two balls to the left of that.
Well, speaking of two balls, make sure you don't hit him there. He's a Korean veteran. He's going to wake up and come after your ass right away. I assure you that.
We had to splash water on him, wake him up. Come on, it's time to go home.
Oh, my God. Oh.
I think he gets thrown out of the NCAA for that these days, but that was fun.
He's John Rager, the John Rager Golf Report. We're going to actually start getting the John Rager Golf Report on our new video streaming channel, Hoovy.tv, starting in May. And you could probably keep me laughing for hours with some of the antics you've seen over the years.
Well, you can hear the music in the background, and it's probably my time to carry on and keep playing golf.
All right, carry on, Kansas. And I appreciate you giving us a live report from the Bob Dooley Invitational, my man. Good luck. I don't see a 22 on the turn, though. That's pretty phenomenal.
It's really ridiculous, but it takes free throws, mulligans, and move-up tee shots.
Well, I might.
Having one of the junior golfers on the team, she hits it like 250 off the tee. So, I don't even have to get out of the cart.
And Buddy Mary's and shots don't hurt either. And I'm sure, knowing John Rager, you got a nice cigar, maybe even a Cuban for an event like this.
Nah, I'm playing with some junior golfers, so I held off on the cigar today.
All right, man.
I got an image to uphold here,
Yeah, we won't blow that with some more stories there, John. All right, my man. I appreciate this. This has been really engaging and entertaining. I love doing things like this. Have a great day at the Bob Dooley Invitational, and I'll talk to you this week.
Thanks, Mike. Take care. Bye-bye.
All right. I can bring you in this conversation because my buddy Kenny Knowles. Now that's our kind of tournament.
I tell you, they use some swing lube, don't they? They know how to use the swing lube.
Oh my God, what an event!
Loosen up with a bottle of Jack.
They'd look at me. I'd have to start cocktailing again. They'd be like, "You're not drinking? No." You're not playing.
Yeah, that's right.
You're over 21. You're not imbibing. Didn't you see what this is about, man? This is about fun. Mulligans, gals, cocktails. This is not serious golf.
A lot of alcohol and fun.
How about the fact that one hole has six flags?
Oh, jeez.
Well, I know which one I'm aiming at. The one my ball goes at goes near. It's not like I'm aiming at anything.
You wouldn't hit the green to begin with.
That's my point. Say which flag you going to? Wherever this ball ends, that'll be the flag I'm picking. Oh my God, John Rager does a superb job for us. Hey, I don't want to get in trouble on anybody. In this woke world, I didn't do it intentionally. I'm getting a little more creative on my technology usage. Let's go over that LPGA leaderboard. And on top is Hannah Green. She's 9 under. Lydia Ko sits 3 back at 6 under. Megan Kang at 6 under as well. Let's see if we got any of our Florida girls anywhere in the top 10. No, we don't have any of the Quarter girls. Well, in fact, I'm not sure if Nellie's back from her blood clot, but that's the LPGA. And as I give you a snapshot of what was going on in the PGA, as well as the LPGA, as I mentioned, Tiger Woods, he was at Tulsa in Monday, actually. Now, Kenny, this is bizarre in today's world. This is how the TMZs and all these BS media outlets get all these scoops on who's where, who's going where. Did you see? They have an app now that tracks private Learjets. Did you know that?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I didn't know that, and I'm reading my New York Post on, and then a briefing again yesterday. That's where I got the information that Tiger flew into Tulsa at Southern Hills, and that something Lear.com app, it tracks all these celebrities.
Yep. In fact,
what BS?
This weekend is the Berkshire Hathaway meeting in Omaha, Nebraska.
Went to one of the. I think I told you that. I went to one of the originals. And it was phenomenal. But it was chump change compared to now.
Oh, yeah. There's tens of thousands of people that show up to that. But my point is, on the jet thing, is there's people that actually sit out there and look at the tail numbers on their planes, and they track who it is so that they know which millionaires are in town.
They load that data?
Oh, yeah.
Musk's here or some of those clowns in social media. And it tracks them arriving in Omaha?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it'll track them and tell them who, who's in it and whatever. It's just unreal.
I got a question. You and Sherry, what's the number on your Lear?
Yeah, right.
How do they track you to Trainer, Iowa?
007.
I like that, buddy. You need 00. You need 007 to figure out the mystery behind your behind the Treasure Island. What should I call it? The travel van.
Yeah, no shit. Oh, shoot.
Shoot. I cannot have you on for longer than 3 minutes. Anyway, you're listening to the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection Radio Network on the T. I'm going to keep you. I got another funny question with you. on that particular event we just talked about. We're broadcasting on, I'm going to start calling Tantalk and 106.1 FM is our flagship. I forgot that. You know, we need a flagship. Rick Kennedy's here. He'll agree. And if we're going to start getting to Sirius Radio, our flagship, 106.1 FM, powered by RadioSt.Pete.com. And we're also on AM 1340 in Tampa, Clearwater, St. Pete, WZHR, AM 14, FM 104.3, and AM 1350, Zephyr Hills, WZHR 102.3 FM, and AM 1400. And I'll let you know that, and we'll talk about this in the next hour on Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection with Ray Kennedy. Lightning are in the playoffs, and you can hear all the Lightning action and Ray's action. And I'm not sure how Big Ed, who's in, he's got the master plan up there at Tantalk, but they do carry the Rays and the Lightning up there on 1350 and 1400 AM for all of you listening up north, and that's a cool thing each and every game. And so that event, the Bob Dooley Invitational, is not much unlike what we used to do in Des Moines, Iowa. And I was fortunate, going back this week, I went to a couple of the country clubs that I had on. I conned these guys into letting a bunch of hacks come on to Wakanda Country Club, Glen Oaks Country Club. I mean, these are prestigious places where the Champions Tour actually plays. And I brought guys out that would they come to the tee box with high tops on. And I would say, you know what? Nothing says white trash like high tops on the golf course. And it was my right-hand man, Tony Ancini, the Italian Stallion. And I just would say, I finally bought him some foot joys. They looked ridiculous on him.
I figure you probably have flip-flops on anyway, didn't you?
No, I actually dressed like I knew what I was doing I was the host. And I always had a bevy of, you know what bevy means? I always brought a bevy of teaching pros along. But we're going to do that here. And I've talked to Golf Tech about it now. I've talked to several of the golf courses. I've talked to Ken Betts over at Mangrove. So we'll see where we're going to have it. Fergs has a great event that is nothing more than a fall-down, drunken event. Because I've been here when they arrive afterwards for the award ceremony. Holy moly. Because, think about it. Mark has got every liquor vendor.
Oh, God, yeah.
He tells them, hey, we're having the Fergs open at ABC Course. I think they've had to move courses several times for obvious reasons. But every hole has liquor. You don't have to bring anything. And they've got the girls there handing it out. So between the Fergs and the On the Tee Hack Nation Invitational in 2023, we're going to have a lot of fun. I'll make sure it's not in the summertime, so you're down here. You're not going to play. You'll be working it with me. What we do is we drive around.
I'll be driving the beer truck.
Boy, you'll be driving. We drive around we drive our own golf cart and interact with the people. Occasionally, they ask me if I want to hit a drive, but that's not going to happen. And then we putt a little bit. All right, so let's talk about one of our favorite tracks, since we're going to talk hacks here for about 5 minutes. Indian Hills in the great state of Iowa. Okoboji, 9 holes, my home course. I almost get moisty-eyed thinking of the memories that occurred there. And several of them, 2 or 3 golf carts in the water. A rabid raccoon attacking our cart. Can't make that one up. Daughter was on the cart freaking out. DNR comes out. We're watching it. It was on the 8th hole. Pulls out a pistol, I kid you not, and shoots it right in front of my daughter. She's about 8 years old, traumatized. I said, no, honey, that's a stun gun. Old Rocky's deader than dirt. and she's over there, you know, almost weeping and for the loss of Rocky.
I'm gonna be back up there in just a couple weeks.
I know, so I'm expecting a live report.
I'm going to have to make a live report from the number one hole.
Well, I've seen some video, and I mean this from a hack's perspective. You have a much better backswing than I. It's too bad you can't putt and chip.
I know. I got to work on that.
You do have a nice, smooth backswing for a guy. Is that Eckerd College?
Yeah.
Beautiful. That's a. There. No one in the history of Tampa St. Pete radio has ever had the sailing team on, and we're going to break new ground today. Hour, our first guest about 12:15 is the sailing team.
Sweet.
For our Eckerd College Tritons, who we represent proudly down here.
Yep.
And yeah, you don't know if that she won't be out. She won't be on for about 15 minutes.
We had basketball.
And the bar opens at noon over here. If you want the water or even a beverage, we like to take care of our coaches. All right, thank you. All right. So, Indian Hills, what's your favorite memory on that? Folks, this will remind you of Maylands as far as a nine-hole track. It's a lot of fun. It's got a lot of water, got a lot of goose poop everywhere you go.
Oh, yeah.
And it's a great track.
Yep.
Ray, you're shaking your head like I'm unprofessional. This is not a professional show.
I know that.
When we're on, this is the hack segment. We just did 35, 40 minutes of professionals. We had Golf Tech talking about what to do. Then we had John Rager. Well, that really wasn't a professional. That was from a hack-type event. So we're going to talk hacks. What's the most embarrassing or cool thing you ever did? I've hit the clubhouse about five times.
Well, yeah, I guess mine was hitting. I think I was on the number one tee box, and my drive went clear over to whatever the hole is next to that. I think it might be.
That's number nine.
Yeah. And speaking of goose poop, my ball.
That's what your shot was.
Went over, dribbled underneath a damn goose that was sitting out there.
Wait a minute. You were number one?
Yeah. And I hit it over on number nine.
You hit into the tee box?
No, not the tee box. I made it past the number nine tee box.
you had a little oomph behind your shot, or you had a little 35-mile-an-hour gust.
Well, I did have a little wind behind me.
Yeah, I believe that. And a lot of wind with your foursome. You guys all chatting, and I'm sure a cocktail or a butt was consumed.
Yep. Yep.
Were you the kind of guy, until you heard this? We used to play with a guy, and he lived to be 84. And he taught golf. Great guy, Jack Jamgotch. God rest his soul. Taught golf. In his 80s, he's shooting his age, 83, 82.
Wow.
He would take a puff off his cig, lay it on the ground where the chemicals were.
Where the chemicals.
Grab it back and stick it in his mouth.
Oh, yeah,
and I'd go, Jack. He goes, what? Ah, F it. I've been doing this for 50 years. Tell me you never did that.
Well, no, but I have picked up my ball and licked it. But that's another story, okay? We won't get into that one.
Okay.
Does this show have an MA rating? I just want to make sure before we go any further.
All right, Ray.
Most embarrassing moment, Mike?
Most embarrassing moment.
Mike and I, my wife and I were covering a wedding for Footage Bound Productions, her videography company, and we're over in Orlando, beautiful golf course, professional hockey player, and I had a golf cart to track the wedding party to get videos. It was the day before the wedding. And I noticed there's a large, and I'm not really great on the big courses, so I'm cutting through, but not trying to cut through the fairways. But I wanted to get this one shot because the best man and the groom to be were lining up for a great shot. Cut across the fairway, and it was over in Orlando. Did not realize it was Tiger Woods playing a practice round with a full gallery, now mind you, on a Saturday for a practice. This is about like 8 or 9 years ago, and I cut through the fairway, and people looked at me like I had just stolen money from the mint or something like that. So very embarrassing because I showed my true colors. It's not knowing my way around out there.
That is a great story, though.
Yeah, Tiger
Woods. You interrupted Tiger Woods.
500 people in a practice round, gallery in a practice round.
And here comes Ray Kennedy.
Cutting through the fairway.
Hey, Ty, you mind if I get this shot before you get your shot?
Can I play through?
Yeah. That's classic.
Yeah, it was embarrassing because
security come chasing your ass out of there.
No, but the thing is, I'm trying to be respectful. I'm not trying to cut through fairways anyway. But I knew that this. I didn't realize when I cut through. I thought this was. I didn't realize
they didn't believe you because most people would say that was their excuse. They probably didn't believe that you were
trying to get Tiger Woods' balls.
Exactly.
Well, Ken would have tried to lick them.
Wait a minute. Now we've gone too far. All right. Well, that's a great story, the Tiger Woods. And stay where you're at. We'll be visiting here on the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection and the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection Radio Network. As I told you, I warned you, we're going to start doing a lot more entertaining things. We're going to get people on live from events to share what's happening on the course. And that was John Rager from the Bob Dooley Invitational.
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1
WDCF Dade City
FM 102.3
WZHR Zephyr Hills
FM 104.3
Listen.